All righty, so we'll begin this evening's meeting in the Finance and Facilities Committee, October 9th, 2012, and it's 6:46. The first order of business this evening is to review and approve the minutes from the September 10th meeting. Would you please take a moment and let me know if they meet with your approval?
I'm good.
Yep.
Okay. Second order of business this evening is the 2013 Budget Functional Analysis Report. As you know, we annually give this to the board, generally after the budget has been approved, presented and approved to the Board of Education, and we're here to present this to you this evening. This is something you've seen over the past few years, and I'll just sort of quickly run through the various spreadsheets, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them as we move through. Any questions so far? Anything you'd like me to highlight? Anything?
How is this different from the last meeting?
This is the same thing from last meeting. I wasn't.
Meeting before.
We didn't go over the functional analysis.
We did, right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I was in a hospital bed.
Sorry.
So. Okay. This is the building budgets. This is what annually is awarded to or given to each budget to fund their various supplies and materials, just generally day-to-day type of purchases. I would say the one item of note here is the difference in Churchill, the significant increase that they received last year. Because of the population at Churchill, we were asked to give consideration to a per-pupil allocation. So we awarded each one of the buildings a per-pupil award for certain expenditures, and that's why Churchill received an increase of about $14,000.
Can you give an example of what, like, a large expenditure out of that budget would be?
I don't know if you could say anything is that large, because if it's large, it'll have been identified and probably came through CSO here. I would say typically something like purchase of some sort of reading material or math material or just general office supplies or anything along those lines. Philip, do you have any?
Their copier paper comes out of that budget. Their PE supplies, their music for the vocal music.
Okay.
It's basically consumable items.
And I'm sorry to...
No, that's fine. Not
give you advance notice I was going to call you. But it's just general day-to-day expenditures to conduct their business. Okay? The next spreadsheet here are the visual arts. Really what drives these allocations are the average teacher salary and benefits. That's the majority of what you'll notice in a lot of these different types of, the majority of these different spreadsheets here. But then whatever else we could detail in terms of what was had been given to them or given to a particular department for a given expenditure. Total expenditure of about $474,000. We've identified the staff that's associated with the program at the elementary level, as well as Hadley, right, the junior high. Total staff, total number of students served, and which is the enrollment that we have, and then also the per capita, per cost per student. We have those for as many of the spreadsheets as we could readily identify. PE, that budget is approximately $1,339,000. There's just over 14 staff members associated with it for a cost per student of about $370.
Bob, on that one, I was just curious. I see the headcount increase. But what is, what drives to that?
When you're talking about the staff.
8 to 8.19, 5.5 to 6.
Increased enrollment in sections that had to be served in PE.
Okay. And that's generally where there will be changes in any of these spreadsheets. General music, $467,000 in expenditures. Total staff, 5. Average cost of about $128 a pupil. Band and orchestra, again, and hopefully this is the increase in staff here just because of a significant increase in enrollment. Those kids wishing to participate in that program.
We've seen a large increase in the number of students in Hadley. Hadley band.
Band. 240 kids. And then for Georgia, which I believe is the orchestra program, around 120 kids. So a pretty significant increase over the past couple of years.
Erica, you have a question?
I had a quick question. When I'm looking at this, 11-12 budget was $378,000, and this for 2012-13 is $261,000. But our numbers, am I not reading correctly? Because as we've said, our numbers in terms of band and orchestra interest have increased.
You know, Erica, this is based off of the number of faculty members that we have associated with the program, meaning the $212,000 for salaries. I'm wondering if maybe the 11-12 number, for lack of a better term, maybe not a good number.
Is inflated, yeah. Okay. I'm just, just knowing the number we had.
I can go back and check it and see what the final budget was, or actually how the expenditures came out last year for that. But you've got 2.3 people with the $212,000 in salaries and benefits, so I'm relatively confident that that's a pretty good number.
But the other one probably is not.
Probably.
We did catch a couple of these, but obviously we didn't catch them all, that may have just transferred kind of funny from one spreadsheet to the next. Because we actually increased staff, so it would make sense that we would have.
Right.
For only 1.6 staff members, they have a $347,000 budget for salaries. That does seem out of line.
Well, this one doesn't also have the percentage per student.
Cost per child?
Yeah.
Usually with programs like that, we haven't done a cost per child because of the fluctuating nature of it.
No.
Except in our programs, like special ed and bilingual, whereas general music, it's every elementary child.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Math literacy?
The music participation fees, who pays that? Is that everyone's? Is that part of the student?
You participate in band or orchestra or a music program?
The $30 fee.
It's like a...
it's the first activity. It's usually you register in the spring, so it's the first activity, so it's $30.
Okay. So we're back on to that. Same thing, salaries and benefits. There are no associated revenues. We have 9 staff people associated with that program. Gifted. Same, salaries and benefits. We don't receive any revenue from state or federal sources. Number of staff members. Chris. We're reading improvement, Title I expenditures of about $338,000. We do receive approximately $162,000 in a Title I grant for a net program cost of about $176,000. There are 13 aides associated with that program, approximately 224 kids being serviced for a cost of about approximately $786. Supplemental pay for non-student-based activities. We have bus supervision, lunch supervision, Hadley department chairs, and then the elementary science coordinators. Total program cost of about $254,000. And then these are the different areas that are spent on student activities. Interscholastic sports, the band and orchestra, and then the rest of the different types of clubs that participate. Let's see here. We spend about $258,000 in expenditures, but we do have some offsetting participation fees and yearbook fees for total program cost of about $224,000. Title II, total cost of about $123,000. Netted off against about $45,000 revenues for Title II allocation. Net program cost of about $77,000.
Bob, this is Erica. I'm just curious why St. Pence allocation went down, how that works.
I mean, the private school allocations are based on their housing, and also there was some carryover money from the prior year.
Okay.
Their allocation is much less than that.
Right, and there is actually less than that for this actual year.
They did have some carryover, meaning they hadn't spent it the year before.
So they didn't get the same amount this year?
No.
Because they had carryover? Or I realize there's carryover. What?
They had carryover last year.
Mm-hmm.
So this year they didn't because they spent it all. They spent their carryover and their allocation. So this year they just have allocation.
Oh, gotcha.
This our sheet doesn't match. It doesn't quite match with what you're showing on there.
Yeah.
And I just caught it myself. Okay. So I don't know.
Well, the 77,000 doesn't show up on ours. 270. The 77 net cost of the program from 17,000, which is now what yours shows.
Shows a net.
The ours is a different sheet. Than
right.
Ours.
Yeah.
Have you updated this since 9/18?
When I came back from my week off, I had made some adjustments, so maybe this didn't get included with those changes that were made. Maybe I didn't make them here.
But what we have is actually more accurate than that.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, I think what you have in front of you is more.
These are the last changes that we made.
Right.
Okay.
These are most current.
Right. Correct.
So that's not reflecting this.
That's correct.
So if I have that.
You have the print copy. You have the most accurate.
9/18.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And then the E&L program cost associated with that. Total expenditures of about $1.6 million with one reimbursement from the state of approximately $138,000 for net program cost of almost $1.5 million. We have just in excess of 14 teachers associated with that program and 6 aides, cost per student. We were serving 432 students with a total cost of about $3,388.
You know what? This is totally different than ours.
Yeah, there's not foot into that.
It would probably be easier just to use the paper version.
Okay.
If that's not been updated to match this.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know what happened with these sheets here.
Is the staffing the same section sort of thing, the delta here?
Well, no, because the printed has the parent liaisons that we hire through the grant, the printed versus this one.
Right.
So that's why the...
Well, I guess the delta is 1.67 FTE additional.
Mm-hmm. And we had 26. We have increased in our kindergarten program, and I believe we increased slightly at Hadley for ESL services.
I mean, I see 50 some odd students extra being serviced. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll follow up with the sheets that you have in front of you then. The pre-K at risk, we have expenditures of approximately $358,000 with one revenue of preschool for all from the state for $34,000 for net program cost of $324,000. We have approximately 5.9 people associated with this program, and we're currently serving around 80 kids for a cost in just excess. Yes?
Bob, sorry, can I ask a quick question? Remind me in this this particular function, program function, is there any possibility of general state aid, or is that not?
That's not associated with this program. This is a categorical funding. Okay. And so when you see your budget, you'll see general state aid, and then you'll see all the categorical grants available out there. This is part of the categoricals. E&L, pre-K, special education, transportation, those are all categorical grants.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify for myself. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm a little confused in terms of the revenue side, because I thought 11-12 we had already lost revenue, but we said we'd let it go for a year and then decide. And so that was the discussion we had last year, was to continue it for 12-13.
Correct.
So is there yet another drop in revenue? Or?
No. We did not receive revenue this year for the program.
Right, but I thought we didn't receive it last year. Either.
I didn't think we did either.
This is the trailing revenue.
So that was from the 10-11, the 10-11 year. That's right.
It came in. So when this is on a cash basis.
Okay.
So those two, the 148 and 5900, are basically 10-11 revenues that we received in 11-12.
Okay. That makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. Special education programs. We've identified all of the different programs that we currently offer in the district, along with the related services. We have total expenditures, including private facility tuition and then tuition that we pay to other public entities. Total expenditures of approximately $7,365,000. Then we went through and we identified the associated revenues with those programs. And if you'll note, the revenue is significantly greater than what we did project for last year for the 11-12 school year of $1.3 million. We did up that to $2.3 million.
And who provides, where's that revenue, who provides that?
The state of Illinois. Those are all state programs.
So they are providing about $1 million extra?
I wouldn't say extra. You know, we've had this problem coming from the state for the past 2 or 3 or 4 years where we've had trailing revenues, receipt of late revenues, things of that nature. It looks like the state is finally starting to catch up. As a matter of fact, in this past month, we finally received the last payment from last fiscal year. So you'll see that on the financial statements that you get for the next board meeting. That'll be identified in there. So actually, where we had been waiting until December, January, or things along those lines, in terms of trailing revenues from the previous fiscal year, as of now, or right around the 1st of October, is that correct, or was it September? No, it was September.
It was in September.
Yeah. Around the 1st of September, we received all the revenues that we were due for last year. So when I went and we prepared the budget for this year, the 12-13 year, we upped those revenue expectations.
And you'll notice, particularly in the areas of personnel, reimbursements, extraordinary, and transportation, mm-hmm. which are the biggies for us.
Everything that they have on the state system where you can go out and check revenues has been updated according to what the state has told us they're going to pay us this year. On a cash basis.
Now, the caveat to that is we still haven't gotten our first quarter of 12-13.
Correct.
Okay, so
but if we're expecting 100% reimbursement, it may not happen this year. It may just happen.
So right now we're projecting optimism.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's always good.
And I've tried to always project caution, and I got burned on that a couple of times. Thinking that the state wasn't going to pay us when, in fact, they actually did. The auditors would go out and accrue everything that the state has identified for release for payment ahead of time. So lesson learned, we upped state revenues by $1 million this year for categorical funding. That puts net program cost last year at $6.1 million, down to approximately $5.1 million. We've identified all of the staff related to those various programs, the number of students served, and then a calculation of cost per student, which is approximately $12,756,000.
Ann, maybe you can answer this. The number of students going down in our budget for next year from 471 to 97. Okay. I know those numbers fluctuate. It just depends on who's, you know, graduating out of Hadley, I suppose, is one criteria, but that's a pretty good number.
It's based on the active IEPs.
Okay.
So that might mean any number of things. It could include fewer students being identified in the early grades. Could be students exiting. As you know, the RTI process takes a little bit longer for students to be identified because you have to get to a tier three before you can go to the case study, which may account for fewer new students being identified as other students are exiting.
Yeah. I think that, thank you for clarifying that. I think that's important because when you see a change that, you know, I think there's a question about whether missing students or not, but it's just the process.
Right. And that number, I mean, when we bring this back to you in this, again, as we get closer to budget time, just these numbers will be updated once again, and it's possible that that number will change, you know, based on new identifications or students who end up going through the RTI process over the course of the year and have IEPs.
Thank you.
Next cost center are the library learning centers. Total cost associated with their program, about $783,000. We have the computer labs and network services. Net program cost of just well over $1.5 million, $1,578,000. Administrative operations, we all have the various departments here at this building, as well as some building-based programs. Superintendent's Office, Board of Education, Community Information, FFO, Human Resources, so forth and so on. Total costs are down this year to $5,030,000. The next analysis is for the Teams for Excellence, CIT, PDT, LLT, and BLT. Total expenditures of $158,000. The food service operation. Total expenditures of $563,000. Primary reason for the increase to that program is the addition of food service staff at the elementary level. Net program cost, because of the reimbursements for the participation in cafeteria sales, national school lunch, and the various milk programs, it looks like it'll be down to about $213,000 net program cost.
The Hadley, even though it's so, I'm guessing even though it says Hadley cafeteria sales and the revenue is jumping, that is a result of elementary revenues as well.
That's correct. The next spreadsheet indicates conference meetings and travel allocations. Net program cost of about $298,000 for those. And this is for conferences, meetings, and workshops and substitute teachers for those teachers that are out of the building for a particular day. Facilities management. This includes our capital projects for this year. Total expenditures of just in excess of $5 million, $5,060,000. Transportation cost.
On the expenditure side, special ed expenditure is jumping up quite a bit, and there's choice routes, but I know what that is. But just wondering what drove the special ed increase.
Just the cost of the operations. That was the budget that we used for last year, $294,000. By the time we got done with all of our bills last year, we paid in excess of $500,000 for those services. And then a couple of other things that we've added in the past 2 years are the choice routes, $60,000, and then also the homeless transportation of $60,000.
And also with special ed, we've had two students who are significant students with out-of-state placements, which are very costly.
And then the revenue increase, is that because they were getting rid of some transportation?
They got rid of, well, 2 months, they just about eliminated regular transportation. This is for the special ed, and that's about what we received last year, was in excess of $400,000. Final page of the spreadsheet here is the staffing report, the staffing summary.
Bob, can I ask, go back to education for transportation?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Where are we with our contract for special education?
For regular, regular education, we're in the second year of a 3-year contract, and it also has 2 years for additional rollovers.
I think he has special education.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We don't have a contract.
Do we have a contract for?
Case is our contract.
Sorry.
Case is the keeper of the special education contract because that's our co-op, and we have 2 more years on our agreement with them, which is Centran.
Okay, but they're running the
They run
that
all
program.
Of our special ed students.
Transportation. Mm-hmm.
And the reason we do that with Case Cooperative is because so many of our students are going to other places other than their home school, and they may be placed somewhere, you know, in District 89 or District 93. So we have all of our transportation coordinated by Case.
Okay. I didn't know if there was an opportunity to have Bob do another.
Work a deal. Yeah. Well, I will tell you, as a Case board, we did a lot of serious negotiations the last time with Centran because we did a full-blown bid. And at that time, First Student was, you know, the other competitor because Illinois Central was not even on the radar yet for us.
Okay.
So we have two more years on our agreement. And,
with Subtrack.
Yeah. And so it's possible we'll be looking at something a little bit more extensive when we do the next round, depending on how Subtran services us. But our agreement with Subtran has been very good in terms of the increase. I think we had a 2% increase last year. It was below CPI.
Okay.
So we do have a strong agreement with them. But
okay.
Sorry, Drew, I misunderstood you. I thought you asked about regular education.
No, I was thinking maybe you could work some more of your magic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Final sheet then is for the staffing summary. As you can see, certified staff for last year and this year, relatively pretty consistent. Slight increase in total staff, which is the result of some additional aides in various spots of the district. And that's all I have for the functional analysis this evening. The next order of business then?
Go ahead, Erica.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to caution, we have about 15 minutes left, and really this next item is just very it's just what we do every time every year about this time, and it's transferring funds from the education fund into the debt service fund to pay for our operating leases. This year's leases include security cameras, desktops, smart boards, computer switching equipment, and a wireless network update equipment. And I just wanted to remind the Finance Committee that what we do is when we typically have assets that will get a life longer than, let's say, 3 years, we will typically go out and lease these and with a lease with an option to purchase, and then we exercise that option to purchase. So these are the pieces of equipment that will be that we carry for a number of years. The associated resolution is attached to that brief board report. You've seen this the past couple of years. You'll continue to see it.
No problem with this.
In the future. Any questions? Okay. Hearing none, we'll move on. Then the final order of business this evening will be the Hadley LMC project. And what I wanted to do is just give you a brief update in terms of where we're at. We have been meeting, as you know, we did begin last spring. Met a couple of times over the summer with groups from Hadley, and then we picked it up again in the fall. And this is where we're at now in terms of recommendations. In terms of where we plan to move with this. Now, to give you an update, we'll be bringing this back to you with cost estimates. You've already seen the cost estimates earlier when I identified capital projects for next year. You'll get an updated board report with a recommendation next finance meeting. We're going to start that process where we'll be requesting the Finance Committee for support to go out for bid for this project for completion during the summer of 2013. So what we'll do is we'll walk it through the finance committee at the next finance meeting, and then it'll move through the board for discussion and action to go out to bid in November. And then we would take those out to bid immediately. Those would probably stay out to bid for 4 weeks or so, and then be back after the holidays, right after maybe the middle of January, second week of January, and then we'll walk it through the approval process. The Hadley LMC is sort of a major focal point of our projects for next summer, as well as implementation of STEM, the STEM labs at the elementary level. So you have some nice pictures that are included on your packet there. What we try to do is just give you a brief overview in terms of what the facility, what the area will look like.
Where's the, on that, Erica, we're looking at the floor plan. Where is the...
Right, I have it in front of me.
Where's the existing entrance at?
The existing entrance is going to be over here somewhere. The reason it was moved more west of that current location is to provide it as a focal point as you enter the front of the building in Hadley, that main hallway. This will all open up and just really sort of provide a grand entrance into that area.
And can you maybe just kind of outline with your finger, what is the existing LLC outline on there?
Well, the existing LLC is all here.
Right there.
There's no addition other than we're talking about two special education rooms
here and here
that are currently having other use that we're talking about creating lab space in.
The nice thing about this this project, the way we've gone about it right now, is the fact that we aren't going to have to take down many walls. You're not going to have to do major interior work.
Is that computer lab? There's a computer lab back right?
There's two labs.
There's a lab in there also.
One lab is open and just separated with stacks, and the other is enclosed in a glass room.
Yeah, I think we
where we did the
demonstration, right? For the office.
Yeah, and that's going to stay. Only it'll be reconfigured.
So I'll just walk you through what this is going to look like now. You're going to have a demonstration area in this area here, and we haven't really identified what this... It's sort of in a half moon or circular type of configuration. We do have it planned for 30 kids. We'll probably use some different type of furniture at different levels so that we don't materially have to affect that, sort of the floor plate or the concrete in that room. We have three small meeting spaces. What would be the south wall of the library now? They'll accommodate between 6 and 10 people. Probably have glass partitions in here to provide them with some privacy, but also so that you don't have any issues with sight lines, noise, and things of that nature. Here you have the courtyard, and one of the things we took a look at last week was not making any real significant changes to the way it looks now, but rather cleaning it up and maybe addressing it with some different type of wall coverings or window coverings.
What is there now? Is it just a bank of windows?
Just a bank of sort of double-storied windows.
With like a four-foot-high brick wall? Or something?
Well, it's probably about 2 feet high, and I believe it's probably a partition down there also. I don't think there's any block in there. And then less than desirable window coverings, if you will. And then we'll follow it over in this area here. This is going to be a quiet reading area, where you'll have, I believe, 20 kids or so. And this will be primarily designed for group quiet spaces. These are your bookshelves throughout the library here. They're accommodating up to 12,000 copies of books, volumes. And then in here is going to be the library. There'll be some small group workstations in here for two students at a time, to do a particular type of computer lab work. We will have some sort of video production facility in here, this area over in here. Again, some small group areas for this area, which is on the north wall. This is the circular desk, which you'll see, the circulation desk, which you'll see in your pictures in your packet here. This, we've decided, will be more or less portable. In other words, you will have some sort of seating around there, but it'll be designed so that it can be easily moved out of the way. And one of the nice things is we believe you'll have meeting space in here for an excess of 200 staff members for professional development, for really for almost anything that you may want. And we're now getting down to the final determinations in terms of what the furniture may look like. So we'll be getting some updates on that also. Mike, could we... let's see what else we got. Let's go there. Okay. This is what the inside of the... This is what the exterior of the library would look like from the courtyard. So envision yourself in that courtyard here, and that's what the library will look like.
I think we're actually talking now about maybe not having as many doors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we went down to two doors. So, you know, these are things that constantly evolve. We spoke last week that maybe instead of having all four doors, maybe we only go to two doors. So
keep most of the existing windows as they are.
Just trying to give you conceptually what the space may look like. Let's see. So we can run through all of these.
Bob?
Yes.
Hi, Sarika. So, one of the I'm looking at the scrolling through the PDF of the renderings also. And one of the things I want to mention, because I've had a chance in lieu of president's meeting to sit with Ann and FGM and Karen and Julie and a couple others, is the flexibility that the space provides, and in particular where the circulation desk is currently, and then it takes a big kind of block space. Taking that out, and remind me of this, Bob, but the circulation desk, did you say this earlier, that it's also movable?
Yes, it will. It's portable, and it'll be moved out of the way as the demands of that space may change.
Right.
So professional development, we're thinking that there'll be room for in excess of 200 people for days of professional development in that space.
Right, which is great. And just thinking more broadly, if there were community opportunities or other ways to utilize that space, you know, most of us have a picture of a library with that kind of static check-in, check-out space. And what this does is, even with the same footprint, to your point, Dan, you know, how large is the space? It's the same footprint, but it really creates much more flexibility. So I like that, you know, you were able to come up with that that option. Nice.
This shot here would be down the hallway, looking westward as you were approaching the library. So maybe the doorways are in here somewhere. Now this is the circular doorway that we'll have, and they're going to have a soffit up in here, and they'll have corresponding old carpet or tile on the floor there, so it'll give this area some effect to it. That's just to give you some idea of what it may look like. Again, this would be down the center hallway over this way, so this is looking down the main hallway westward. In here, this would be the main hallway, just down from the administrative offices, and this is what this space would look like as you were looking northward. This space over here would actually be into the main part of the library, and then over here would be the demonstration area. Another shot looking, I guess this would be more or less northeast. This would be, again, right from the main hallway there, and give you some idea in terms of what the space would look like from outside of the library. Again, another shot of that area. So this would be inside the library, and if you can envision... Well, I guess about where that the existing circulation desk is. The reference point maybe would be this pole. The circulation desk is in here. This is what the inside or the outside of that that demonstration area room will look like. inside the demonstration area now, and then we would be looking at some sort of technology along these walls. We haven't exactly come up with that plan yet, but I know that Mike is working on it. And this would be looking out from that space, corners of the library and off in here in the computer lab and so forth. This is your circulation desk. So what the plan is obviously this soffit area here would remain, but this would become portable. We'll have electric running through the floors, so whatever electric is needed, you just take those devices out, and this would be moved off the side here. Notice the configurations of the ceiling. We're not coming with just a straight to a similar ceiling tile like this. It would be come off at different angles, different ways. It might be exposed. The final description of that hasn't been determined, but something different than what is typical for maybe a library space. And then also there'll be some sort of designs into the flooring area that would correspond to that.
And the design piece there is to create eyesight out to the courtyard so that you have a continual movement toward the courtyard.
Again, just another shot of that, the ceiling, floor designs, what the circulation desk checkout area might look like. And then this would be stepping back. Here's your circulation area, and that's what it would look like into the courtyard. Just another shot of what that space would look like. And I think that's about it.
Bob, do you know what the delta or the net on capacity for books in the library is?
Yeah, we have somewhere between 12 and 14,000 volumes there now. And so we would be looking to cull back that collection. And we're thinking somewhere between 10 and 12,000 volumes would be a good number to land in, I think.
We've already taken out over 2,000 volumes this summer in terms of just reading the collection. And the goal would be to get probably down to about between 10 and 12,000, as Bob just said, at least in the short term. You know, maybe even fewer after that. But we were operating, I think one of our design people with FGM says one book per ten books per student. Mm-hmm. So maybe about 12,000 volumes.
Any questions on what we've shown you this evening then?
I don't have any questions, but I made a note to myself that it's been really helpful for me to, you know, be able to look at these over time and see how they've changed, and that it'd be helpful for the Finance Committee to encourage the whole board to, you know, review these, get any questions or observations or suggestions, you know, ahead of time, so that we're all up to speed. As, you know, Bob and Ann kind of pointed out, we're going to be moving pretty quickly on this, and so I think it'd be helpful for the Finance Committee to give some insight to the board around this, too.
Our next steps are to re-meet with the Hadley Committee and then take it to the staff for review of that. There's also an interest in talking to students and giving them a chance to weigh in on it. And all of those things will happen before we would bring it back to the board for discussion or back to finance. Actually, it'll have to come back to finance with numbers attached to it, and we're not there yet.
My plan is to take it to finance in 2 weeks to allow us to move forward with the bidding process, and then it'll just follow through to the board for discussion and action.
What was our budget guesstimate on this project?
Just the facility itself, the space itself, I believe I budgeted $800,000. And we have technology, and we have furniture and fixtures to go in there.
The overall project, you were hoping to have it at
$1.2 million max with technology, furniture and fixtures, and interior spaces.
And when will we see the STEM lab and stuff?
We're not really far enough along on the STEM lab. Think Tank is still, you know, kind of finalizing their recommendations. So as they have done, they're building their schedule. That's had a little bit of an impact on the location of the STEM labs. Our meetings with FGM are now probably at the point where, because the actual construction changes that would probably need to be made are again, not that great. It's probably going to be furniture and more of a scheduling issue. So I would guess that we should be ready with that in another couple weeks as well to have those recommendations come to finance.
I think we started talking about starting to go on, having a conversation with going on the bid and so forth right after the first of the year, because this is important that we get this on the table and sort of out to bid. This is a major project. The architects are warning us, giving us advance notice that it's going to take, there'll be some selected design requirements for equipment, furniture, and so forth that needs to go in here, where there might be 3 or 4 months of lead time. So it's important that we follow sort of a tight schedule just to make sure there aren't any issues about this space being reopened in time. We've also talked about maybe getting in here a couple weeks before school, or having to keep the construction going until a couple weeks after school, because this is a pretty significant project for us. This will essentially be stripped down to the bare walls, the concrete, and all the way up to the ceiling. So everything will come out of there. Any other questions? Because we're at 7:32 now. Okay, thank you. And if you have any questions, just get a hold of me. I'll be happy to answer them or take a call. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob.